Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hello, After Buzzers, and welcome back to Spotlight On. My guest today is the fabulous Diana Madison, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We'll talk about that. Welcome back, AfterBuzzers. This is Spotlight On. I am so excited to introduce my guest today. She is a mega entrepreneur, a mompreneur, an actress, a producer, a beauty influencer, a mom, a wife, and an Armenian queen.
And a friend.
A former boss. Diana, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice being here, talking to you on your show.
Oh my God, thank you.
I remember when you started off as an intern, and I got goosebumps just saying that. So proud of you.
Thank you so much, Diana. If those of you don't know, my first gig in this industry was through Holly Scoop years ago.
You did red carpets for us.
Yes. You were the first person that put me on red carpets. Yeah, and I found you through my internship at Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
One of the editors there, Scott, had told me about you.
What did he say?
That intern for her, she just launched Holly Scoop, you know, get your feet wet and all that stuff. And we just bloomed, and I'm so excited that you're here.
That's where I started my career, Entertainment Tonight, where I met Maria, who actually is a part of AfterBuzz. So I love even seeing what Maria's done with AfterBuzz. That's awesome.
Yeah, shout out to Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro for even creating this platform so people like us,
I think it's amazing,
you know, have the chance. That you just said you were at dinner with her recently.
We were at a birthday dinner. We were sitting next to each other. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think she's an amazing woman. She was someone I was like looking up to when I was starting my career to follow in her footsteps. And I just love what she's done with her career. And she's been through so much. She's so tough. She's a warrior. I love her.
Oh my gosh, we love her. She's our role model here. Yeah. She's like our mom.
Yeah.
You know, and this place gives us so much opportunity that back in the day we didn't have.
No, like when I started my career at Entertainment Tonight, I left there because they were never going to hire me there. And I created Holly Scoop out of my parents' house in a little tiny room. Man. And it was just literally like me trying to get an agent and a manager and make a reel. It was never like, I'm going to create this like digital studio. It was literally like, I just need to make a reel. I just need to get a hosting gig. Yeah. Someone needs to hire. Nobody was hiring me at that time. You know, I'm Armenian. I have an interesting look. It's not the typical look. Nobody wanted to hire me, and I literally had to create my own lane. But I didn't know what I was doing. That's the funny part. Like, now I feel like if I was starting, I would be great, because then I could come to places like AfterBuzz, or I could go to, like, Upstaff Studios, which is the digital company I own, with Holly Scoop and Fumble and Nerdwire, where we give so many opportunities for hosts. You know, when I started, there wasn't these places, so I had to create my own lane.
I just got goosebumps you saying that, because you created Holly Scoop, and then that turned into Upstaff Media, which owns Fumble. And
Fumble is like one of our biggest channels. It's sports. We have Nerdwire, which is really big, my online talk show, and Dream Big Podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I've been so lucky in the last, I would say, 14 years since I launched it. I've met so many amazing people, interesting people, and I just think it's a really good time for women of diversity, with different ethnic backgrounds, to be able to shine.
I am so happy that being Armenian, we can count on each other in this industry, especially our generation. We support each other.
Yes.
We collab, we repost. Right. It's like, oh my God,
I think the Armenian community from day one, when I even started Holly Scoop, they were like my core.
Yeah.
They were always very supportive. They were my core when I was like, you know, on MySpace trying to make people like go on Holly Scoop, go on the YouTube. Like, the Armenian community has always been very supportive.
And you have evolved so much. I feel like you go on with whatever the industry is doing in such a smart way. See, there was podcasts, now you did podcasts. Like, you're not late, you're right on time. And that... That takes a lot of grind and a lot of work ethic right. that we'll get to and all of that. Because mm-hmm. I want to talk about everything. You know, you launched Glowtopia. Right. You're an actress now coming yeah. up in Mob Town, which will air in December on yes. Netflix.
December 13th will be yes. in theaters.
Yes.
That's a picture with me with Danny
oh,
A.
Oh, awesome. Yep.
He actually produced a movie. He directed it. And he was my co-star as well. I love him. He's been such a great mentor for me when it comes to the wow. industry and acting. And then to my other side is Jamie Lynn Sigler from Sopranos, which I even trip out even looking at this picture because I admired her for so many years with the show Sopranos. I've been such a huge fan of her. So just to be in that scene was just like insane. I can't even.
Did you ever think you were going to be an actress? Like, I want to take it way
right,
back, but like,
right, right. Let's take it way that. Back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. So as a little girl, I remember saying I wanted to act, but like that was never going to happen for an Armenian girl with the background yeah. I have. My parents were immigrants.
Mine too.
They were yeah. like confused with me just trying to be a host. They didn't get it. My dad was very supportive. Like when I did the Entertainment Tonight job, I had to take a shitty job, 3 a.m. shift that nobody wanted to do. I did the 3 a.m. shift on the news desk because I wanted to get out of the tape vault, which you've been there. You know how awful the tape vault is. Awful.
I had to file right. all those tapes that were right. always
you have
logged.
To log.
Yeah.
You have to log people's like interviews and you're in this like cold room and it's awful. So I took that 3 a.m. shift. My dad was upset that I wasn't going to go to law school, but he would follow me to work every day at 3 a.m. making sure I got to the work safe because at that time it was at Paramount Studios. And he was very supportive, even though they didn't get what I was doing. So, no, I always thought about acting, never thought about pursuing because I was like, it's never going to happen. And I had heard a lot of stories about the casting couch that kind of like...
Of course.
...had me a little bit, you know, turned off from it. But I really love being me and hosting. It comes very naturally. I love being on camera. And I think that's why, like, falling into acting is just very organic. But I love being me. And hosting isn't something that came naturally. I, you know, wanted to do it. I wanted to build a career like Oprah, who was my role model. And the movie, how it happened, is... I'll tell you how that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was up for this project that I was hoping I would host. And unfortunately, the head of the network told me that I just was not going to host the show. And he said, we're going to go with a famous actress. And I think the decision was the right decision at the time, although I was devastated. And I was so devastated. I was 3 months pregnant with Christian. I thought it was the end of my Aww. Career, end of my life. I was in a very dark place, yeah. and I thought it was over. And I remember leaving there, and then I went, it was Memorial Day weekend, and we went to Palm Springs with my husband and my friends, and I was crying, and everybody was, like, trying to console me. And one of my girlfriends was like, why don't you come with me to the Cannes Film Festival? I'm like, I'm 3 months pregnant, I'm not doing it. And my husband saw how hard, that I was working on this for, like, 3 years. I thought it was going to be my big break.
Wow.
And for someone to tell me that I wasn't what they wanted because I wasn't a famous actress or whatever was awful to hear. Especially to your face. It's like this industry is so hard.
Cutthroat.
So it's very cutthroat and you got to have thick skin. You got to like sit there and be like, yeah, thank you for sharing that with me. And then walk outside yeah, and like, yeah. ah! right? Because that's exactly what I did. And my husband was like, you should get up and go. And I was like, I don't want to. So anyways, he books me a trip to go to the Cannes Film Festival. And I went 3 months pregnant. I went for like three days. And I was very inspired by what I saw. And like, check this out. So I got this acting coach number. Like, I was just telling all my friends. And they're like, you should start acting. I'm like, I'm going to start acting. And I got this number of an acting coach. And I texted him. And get this. He's like, Diana, you texted me 2 years ago saying you wanted to get into acting. And then I never heard from you. So I had done that 2 years ago.
Oh
but
God.
Never pursued it. So I had to have this awful incident happen to
for
really
to realize that.
Push me into it. So get this. So again, still, I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I start taking acting classes once a week. And I was doing it with this acting coach in Atlanta. So I would Skype with her.
Are you all the way in Atlanta?
She was in Atlanta.
Wow.
And I would Skype with her because she came highly recommended. And
she
was like, are you really? Well, her name is Sarah Mornell. And you guys should definitely check her out if you want to get into acting.
Okay.
So with Sarah Mornell, I literally remember I was like 9 months pregnant. I was about to give birth. She's like, are you like, is this for real? I'm like, yep, I'm about to give birth. I'll be back next week. So long story short, I started telling everybody in Hollywood that I want to act. And Danny had come to do my show, Danny A. And I literally was like, hey, I really want to get into acting. And he's like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. And then just time went by, and then like we would talk, and then I would see him places. We have a lot of mutual friends, and then just out of the blue, he was like, "All right, I have a role for you to play a mob wife. It's called Mob Town. We film in New York." And when he called me, I just remember that moment. I really like will never forget that moment. I didn't think it was real. And then when I went, crazy stuff happened that I felt like I was meant to do it. I was meant to be there. And when I was there for only like 2 days, but it was the most magical days of my life where I was like, wow, like who knew that in my 30s I would like find a passion and be like, why haven't I done this before? I really love doing this. Like seeing everything come alive on the movie set and being with
the other actors. Behind the scenes, too. It's so crazy.
Behind the scenes and just being with the other actors. And I just feel like working with someone like Jamie Lynn Sigler, David Arquette and Jennifer Esposito are in the movie, but wow. I didn't meet them. I didn't have scenes with them, but I did meet, you know, Jamie Lynn Sigler. And she, like, I think she knew it was my first time. I think everybody knew, but she was so amazing and just so helpful. And I never had experienced that community kind of...
Yeah.
Like feel where everybody was like helping each other, and you know, it just was like a great feeling to be in that atmosphere where Danny was very helpful with me, patient with me. He knew it was my first time and he was walking me step by steps, and which is like that's a great director. So it was one of the best experiences I had in my life. And then I just got booked for my second movie, which I go to film in the next month, and I'm really excited about that too.
You officially have the acting bug. Like this
I'm officially an actor now.
Yeah, yes. You're an actor. And also you are proof to a lot of mothers out there and even minorities that you don't have to like your soul does not need to die after you have children. Right. And I know that's your purpose. You talk a lot about that. Just because you have a child or you're married, your career does not have to end.
No.
And for a long time I was the opposite thinker of that. It was like, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna have kids and get married and still pursue this?
Right.
But you are an example, and so is Lilith.
Yes.
I had Lilith on the show as well. Our Armenian sister.
She's a good friend of mine.
How you can still do it with the routine and work ethic. So talk about that purpose of yours that you really want mothers to know that you can still evolve.
Yes.
You still can continue your dreams and pursue it.
Right. I'm really big on that because for a long time I pushed the whole having kids thing because in Hollywood, it literally was not a written rule. It was never written. But it was like kind of like you choose. You choose to have kids or you choose to have a career. And I think in like this day and age, it's all about disrupting things that don't work. And that just doesn't work. Like I could have a career. I could build a family and build an empire. I could do it simultaneously. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Definitely isn't easy raising a family. And doing a career, but it's possible with like the right organization, the right help. Like it takes a village to raise a family.
Yeah.
And if your husband is like, you know, supportive and you've got like amazing parents and mother-in-law and mom and I got amazing help to always help me out if I have to be here to do this, you know.
Yeah.
It's doable. Is it hard? It's really hard. But I don't think it's this day and age where it's like, all right, you had the kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for example, like Kim Kardashian gets a lot of heat when she posts pictures in the bikini. And it's like, but why? Like, just because she, because I've seen people leave comments, you're a mom. And it's like, why? Just because she's a mom, like, people are going to shame her for putting a picture in a bikini. Like, you could feel sexy. You could be whatever you want
to
be.
True to yourself and just be authentic. And when you are, other people will see that as an example and then they will live their truth.
Right. So for me, it's really important to inspire other women, especially diverse women, to know that like you, because for me, family is really important. It really is important. It's number one. But just because I have a family and, you know, I'm married or I have kids. Oh, there's everybody.
That's Ray.
Ray would probably hate the fact that this picture is on the show because he's very, he doesn't like to be on camera and he's very low key.
Really?
But that's what I like about him because he doesn't like to be on camera and he's very low key.
And he is so supportive of you and your career. Mm-hmm. And that's so important for you
to
thrive.
Well, when we met, because I was having a really bad luck with men.
And really?
I was having every guy I would date would be like, you're a little crazy. This sounds weird. They would call me eccentric. Just because I like was like, listen, I have a career that I want to pursue.
You have
a goal. I need to do this. And I just remember meeting a lot of guys who were just like, she's kind of too crazy, obsessed with it. When I met Ray, because I had this really awful breakup before, he was told that if you want to date her, you need to know that she has this dream and she is going to do it. And oh so when gosh. I met him, he already knew. You. He already knew that, like, this is the guidelines. But regardless of that, like, he and I, we own Upstuff Studios together. We're business partners and husband and wife and parents. And we have learned to manage that relationship because working together is a whole other ballgame. But I'm really lucky. I have a really good support system. Yeah.
And I was going to say it's so important to have the support system with your husband because both of you evolve as human beings.
Right.
And when you're both going to the same direction in life, one thing is not lacking and one person is not bored or, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you always keep each other on each other's toes.
Well, we have two kids, so there's definitely no boredom there.
They're so cute. How old are they now?
So Colette Christian is a year and a half. He's going to be two in December. Colette is going to be four in November, which is so crazy, by the way. I can't believe it.
And you're a mom. And it's just so crazy. But I do want to take it back, first of all, how Holly Scoop started and when you know you had that confidence to start it. Because I know you were taking the LSAT, right? When you're like, I'm not doing this anymore.
So my parents really wanted me to do law. And so I studied political science at UC Santa Barbara. Ooh. And I was, you know, working at KEYT, which is a local station.
Okay.
It's ABC owned. It was a local news station. And there I was interning. I learned everything. How to write scripts. How to, like, do everything. I also did Home and Men TV in LA when I was 18.
Oh, Armenian.
Which is an Armenian local TV station. And there, boy, did I learn. I learned how to do everything there. Let's talk about that.
Home and meant.
Yeah, right. Editing, everything. Like, it's interesting because right now I own Upstuff Studios. If there's no editor, I could sit there and edit. Am I the best editor? No. But I could edit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important no matter what you do. And if you're going to be an entrepreneur, know every aspect of your business.
That's so important to know how to edit.
And let me tell you something. I like to consider myself a talent, not an entrepreneur. I wasn't trying to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. I just fell into this place where I was like, I need to get on camera. No one's putting me on camera. How do I do this? And then YouTube was in beta. And I was like, there was like cat videos on YouTube. And I was like, wait up. I need to like put my video. Well, actually, this is how that all happened. Ryan Seacrest was having a contest on E! News with Juliana Rancic. I had interned there with Juliana. But side note, that's a side note. So Ryan Seacrest having this contest. Be on the red carpet with me for the Golden Globes. I sent my audition tape, and it said you have to upload your audition tape interviewing somebody on YouTube. So I sent it to them, and I was like, oh, you know, and they aired it on E, like our contestants. So I didn't win. I lost a contest. But that video I had uploaded, I interviewed a girlfriend of mine. She has a store. She had a store, so I had interviewed her about the clothes. Like, tell me about this shirt. Tell me about that top. Like, not that
whatever
exciting.
Works.
Like, whatever works. I mean, the lighting wasn't even working. That video went, like, got a lot of views. And I remember sitting there, I'm like, why did this video get a lot of views? The light wasn't working properly. I'm talking about clothes that, like, it's not even professional. It took off. And then I kind of was like, hey, there's something here. I sat there and I started hitting up all my friends in Hollywood because I worked at Entertainment Tonight. I had a Rolodex of amazing contacts. I hit them up. I'm like, can you get me on the red carpet? Because I was like, if they're not going to hire me because they say I'm too green, which is like a term they use here in Hollywood where like you don't have any experience. I'm like, I'm going to get some experience. So for me, it was just to make a reel. It wasn't like, oh, like let me, you know,
you needed
build
the content.
A digital
Yeah, you
company.
Needed the content.
You know? I just needed experience.
And
it wasn't like I'm trying to make this company. It fell into like, I mean, it developed into what it is today, which is like insane. I wasn't trying to do that. You know, I was just literally trying to get some camera time.
And did you feel like after launching, you know, Holly Scoop and turning it into Upstuff and stuff, you had that inner confidence, like finally, like you in today's day and age with the right networking, you can actually blossom that into something and not wait for someone to be like, hey, I'm hiring you.
Listen, like once again, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I wish
but
I
you
had,
learned.
I wish I could tell you like I knew this was all going to happen. Like I wish I could tell you like my whole goal was to like just get on E! News. Get on Entertainment Tonight, these shows that I was working for. My whole goal has been like to have a talk show when they like Oprah. And even when I created my online talk show, which I've interviewed people from J-Lo to
Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes,
which
got
a lot of hate, right? You told me the Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, it got a lot of hate. Here's the thing. Something I learned from that interview is I can't give too much control for the person I'm interviewing. So I was very I was very sensitive to the situation she was in. Mm. We asked a lot of questions that were never aired in the video because she didn't feel like it was like the time for her to talk about it, because we had some great questions in there. But she wanted to make it fun and fluffy. So making it fun and fluffy, I got a lot of heat for it, because they're like, why didn't you ask about this? And I'm like, I did. We just, you know, she kind of edited the video. So
wow.
So that's a lesson I learned, is when you are doing your interviews, no matter how bad you want to get the interview, when you give too much control to the person, like, you might end up, you know. Yeah.
And now, fast forward, you feel like you know how to navigate everything, and you're more confident.
But, you know, Amanda and I, we were working on a project together after that. So I was actually happy the way it came out, because, you know, after we did that interview, we were going to do a project together. It kind of fell through because of her health situation. So for me, most important is, like, she does good health-wise. And when I did that interview, she was in a great place. So I was very happy about that. So I feel like... Yeah. Did I, like, look bad? Yeah. Did I learn a lesson? Yes. Was she happy? Yes. And that was worth a lot to me.
And you've had a lot of high-profile people on your podcast. Lamar Odom, Kendra. Yeah. You're very open. I caught that one episode of you talking about kids and maybe wanting to freeze your eggs one day. Right. I love how open you are.
Yeah.
You know, and as a mother and as a wife.
Why not?
Yeah, and we had a question on Instagram that someone wanted to ask you, actually. One of your fans, she was one of my co-hosts. We used to take classes together. Christina Kachiva. Mm-hmm. She's really pretty. Hi. And she loves you. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Christina.
She's asking, oh my God, I love her. I love her Instagram. Ask her, how does she manage to do it all? Your work, your kids, your marriage, and look amazing. So what do you do?
Looktopia.
Yes, which we're going to talk about how that began. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Honestly, it is difficult. It's not easy. I had a breakdown yesterday. I just was like, I'm like, everything is happening and it's so great. But it's like, there's points where I'm like a little worn out. I leave for Paris tomorrow and I'm very nervous leaving the kids, even though it's 48 hours.
You're going only for 2 days and coming back?
Right. I do that.
Wow. Really?
I'll go to New York for 24 hours.
Oh, my God!
Right. So I'll be in the plane more.
Do you go with your husband, or like he stays with the kids?
This trip is for work. So I'm going by myself, and he does not want to go to Paris Fashion Week.
Right.
Me and my husband, we just came from our annual vacation where we take time alone and we want to have some time to ourselves, because I think it's important when you're married, especially when you have kids, to put time for a husband and
date
wife.
Night.
You guys. Right. Yes. So we just did that. That was fun.
So you're going to Paris and you have to navigate it because your kids are back home.
So what I do is I'm very organized. So once you have kids, you have to get very, very organized. Like, I would say every second of my day is organized. And I pushed this interview a couple times because I knew, I was like, I have to do it at a time where I know I could do it.
Getting her here was a struggle. It's all worth it.
I'm so happy I'm here.
Yeah, and it happened after the Emmys too, because I had some stuff going on before that as well. So I feel like it worked out well.
It worked out well. But I think that's what it is. Like, I'm very organized. Like, every minute of my day is calculated.
Yeah, no, but that's how you have to be. And that's how your kids will be in the future, work along with you.
And Ray and I are like that. We'll be like, all right, what's the schedule today, and we'll go through it, and who's doing what, who's picking up who, is we work together a lot.
You talk a lot about mommy guilt.
Yeah.
So any advice for moms out there with mommy guilt? Like, how do you
I'm having that right now because I'm going to Paris tomorrow.
And Christian's sick. You mentioned he has a fever.
Aww,
so my nephew had a fever recently too. Right. It's hard.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
They have a lot of fevers.
Yeah, right?
Oh, the fevers. What was the question? Caught up in Christian. No. I'm like, wait up, how is he doing right now? Where's my phone?
Mommy guilt. Mommy guilt. You can kind of tackle that. You know, when a lot of moms are watching this,
actually asked that to Ariana Huffington.
I love her.
Yeah.
She is so, like, amazing. I love her.
So I asked her that, and she said, when you have a kid, it's like they put that mom guilt in you.
Already?
And it's just like, it's just a kid comes out, and they put the mom guilt in. And it's true. Like, I think no matter what, you're going to have it. It's just like knowing that, like, everything is, like, temporary.
Yeah.
The fever's temporary. The trip is, like, quick. You know, as long as you know it's temporary. And the feelings you have as a mom with mom guilt are temporary.
Temporary.
Yeah.
What's one habit that you've picked up in the last 5 years that has improved your life? Whether it can be an actual thing or just the habit or a mindset? Sorry. What have you done differently or maybe...
I'll tell you.
That has worked for you.
Something that has tremendously changed my life for the better is doing meditation daily.
Do you have an app? You have the app?
I don't really have the apps. I have some meditation that someone had sent me.
Good for you.
And literally doing the meditation. Actually, Ariana's sister, Agapi, she has a lot of meditations that she sent me. You guys should follow her. But she's on Instagram. So I have some meditations that people have sent me, and I do it day. Sometimes I do it night, depends on how bad it is. And sometimes it can be from 5 minutes in the morning to like 20 minutes. And sometimes I don't get to do it till nighttime when I'm in bed. And like last night I was really tired. I just put the meditation music and I like fell asleep to it.
And you have your journal that you journal what you're grateful for.
Right. So
you
meditate. I think it's important to be grateful and appreciative for little things. Like I'm very grateful that I'm here right now, you know?
Aww.
Every moment should be appreciated because like... One thing I've learned is we get so caught up in, like, getting there and the success and, like, getting there. But we don't realize that, like, every step we take along the way is a part of, like, the success.
It's the journey. Abraham Hicks talks about that.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
Yeah, it's Abraham, but it's a woman. Mm-hmm. Don't ask why. But it's Abraham Hicks, and she talks a lot. What's her and her husband, actually? So it is him. They talk about how enjoy...
Because isn't she used the name as...
Yeah, it's Abraham Hicks, but it's Esther. That's
Right.
It's on YouTube. She's amazing. She talks about...
Oprah is a big fan.
Of them, as a couple. So she has books, or they have books, and she talks about how the journey is what makes you. And people always say... I'll be happy when I get the next job, or I'll be happy when I get that boy, or I'll be happy when I get $50,000. You have to be happy now and be on that level to attract that level.
Because you see a lot of people that when they say when they become famous, like if you have issues, when you become famous, issues get worse. And if you are like you have certain tendencies when you become famous, I feel like someone like Oprah, like you could see that she's like a really good person. As she became famous, she became even better because she gives back and she... Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And then there's other people that struggle, and then when they get there, the struggles get harder with their addictions and all that. So I think it's important, literally important, to just focus on the moment.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. This past year has been really hard for me because I lost a friend in a car accident.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And she was really beautiful and smart, and she was very successful. She had a big clothing line, and... We were told by the family to I didn't want to post and all that stuff about it, but it's really affected my life. And I just, from that situation, it happened last October, which is coming up, which is crazy. But from that situation, it's just been really interesting, like how I'm living my life. It's like, it shifted me a little bit.
Appreciate every
moment.
Yeah, no, and actually it opens your eyes to so many other situations in life when someone does die. Because then all of these things are just for fun. You know, there's people out there, unfortunately, dying out there. And people, it's so scary. And what we do, and we're alive and we're healthy. I always say, and you talk about this, health. Number one is health. And before we talk about Glowtopia, I wanted to say one of my good friends in the industry, he always says fame doesn't change you. It just exposes who you really are.
Right.
So if you do have any issues, and I think mental health is number one, always self-educate, self-help books, meditate, work on yourself, invest in yourself. Mm-hmm. Now I want to talk about Glowtopia, because I know you have to leave at 4. You got to pick up Colette.
Yes.
But so she gifted this to me. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited for you to use
it. Prickly pear.
Yes.
So tell me how this came about and when can we use it and all that good stuff. I'm going to open it.
So, basically this is my first product for my beauty brand, Diana
Madison
Beauty. First of many. I'm
there
already working on number 2.
There you go.
Working on the second product right now. But so this is a face oil, which is a multi-purpose oil. You could put in your hair like I did today.
Yeah.
Takes care of the frizz. Takes care of dryness in your hair.
Oh, my God.
You could put it on your body. You could mix it in your moisturizer. You could mix it in your highlighter. You could mix it in whatever you want to mix it in. I've had a lot of people come on my show, and it's been fun seeing them do fun things. Like Makeup by Griselda came yesterday. She put it in the eyeshadow with Mac Daddy's Artist of Couture.
Wow.
And then, you know, I've had other people use it as a lip mask. People are getting really creative with it. It's literally a face oil that I created out of a purpose and a need. I wasn't planning on, listen, I did Glam Masters.
With Kim K.
Right.
Yes.
I did Glam Masters and I was like really like thinking about the whole beauty space, but I wasn't going to launch a product that didn't feel genuine. But I had just at Colette, I went to Coachella, and when I went to Coachella, I got a really bad case of rashes and hives. And it was gross. Wow. Like, I remember being like, oh, my God, what am I going to wear? None of the clothes I brought. Like, everything was short skirts. Like, there was nothing to wear. And I went to see a local dermatologist. And the dermatologist told me, you have a really bad case of eczema. And wow. I was like, wait, eczema? How did this come about? I've never had it before. And when you have a baby, things change. Like, your hair starts falling off. You get, you know, your hormones are all over the place. Wow. Things happen. So he was like, go to Rite Aid and go and look in the clean beauty section. So I did. I was like, wait, what's clean beauty? This is 3 years ago when it wasn't a thing. Now it's a thing.
Yeah.
So I go to the clean beauty section and I was like, this is clean beauty? Like, I just kind of was like, this is, I would never tell anyone I'm using any of these products.
Yeah.
I would hide these products underneath like the sink, right? So I thought about it and I'm like, and this is the like entrepreneur in me. I'm like, clean beauty needs to be done better. Like, yes. It needs to look better. It needs to be Instagrammable. Like, this is
of course
ugly.
So cute.
So then my mom went to Morocco, and she had brought back this product that had the prickly pear seed oil as the hero element. And I didn't like the product so much because it was too sticky, but I didn't realize how helpful the prickly pear seed oil is. Because when you have eczema, you need to hydrate your skin so your skin doesn't dry up and doesn't crack, which is what happened to me. Wow. So I went to Coachella. It's dry there.
Yeah, of course. Desert.
And I had to moisturize. And I actually hate moisturizing. So something I hate doing. So then I was like, this is great. So I wanted to buy more. I can't even get the product. I have to fly to Morocco. Although it was too sticky. Like, I'm on the go. I can't wait for a product. This is why I hate moisturizing. I can't wait for a product to dry up. Like, I need to put it on, let it dry, and run out. So then I was like, this needs to be done better. It literally came out of a need of, like, I need it. I can't find it. It needs to be done better. Disrupt it, right? So I worked on it for 3 years.
3 years. That's a long time. Wow.
I could have launched the product a year ago, but I didn't because I really needed to perfect it, especially if I was going to put my name on something.
Yeah.
At this point of my life, like, I got to make sure it's good and it's right and I'm proud of. And I got to be honest, like, I'm really proud of this product. It is so helpful for a lot of people. Not a lot of people like oils, and I get that. I like to use oils, but I use it day and night as is, or I could use it sometimes in my moisturizer. Sometimes I can mix a drop in my foundation. If you have oily skin, I wouldn't do more than a drop. If you have dry skin, you could do more than a drop. But I remember when I did the photo shoot, and Raquel Lizama, who does, you know, Ariana Grande's makeup, Lala's makeup, Beyonce's makeup.
Wow.
He did the photo shoot. And he's been my friend for when we both just started. We were like, you know, just starting out. And he, when he was like, I'm taking this, I'm like, I don't have any products. I have one sample. He's like, I'm taking it. It's Grammy's weekend. I'm taking it. So when he said that, I was like, wow, I think it's good. And he was like, it dries up so quickly. And I was like, that's the point.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of this. It dries up quickly, which is really important for me.
Very universal.
Yeah, and it's a multi-purpose product. You can use it everywhere. And I just thought, like, I wanted to make it Instagrammable. So you can put it on your bathroom shelf.
Yeah, vanity. You know, by your perfumes and all of that. And also, it was in Vogue. Don't forget that major detail. It was mentioned in Vogue as a must-have product.
Right, like for fall. Like that. I couldn't believe it.
That's insane.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I might cry just talking about, like, that, because I've always dreamed about Vogue. And well, I read Vogue as a little girl, and I still buy Vogue and dreamed about it. I never thought, like, this would happen, but it's happening. And I'm just so grateful to God and the universe for giving me these amazing opportunities.
Yeah, and you know,
the support from the beauty community.
Support from the beauty community. And speaking of a beauty community, you just met Lady Gaga. You have to tell me how that was, how that would go, because she looks so amazing.
I literally remember when Lady Gaga started her career. She started his career same time I started Holly Scoop. Wow. I remember that clearly.
Poker face.
Right, poker face. I just remember, like, I was at the Oscars this year, and seeing Lady Gaga win that Oscar and that speech she gave, really, Michael Costello texted me that second saying, I feel like this is you talking. Because I feel her, like, you know, she's Lady Gaga and she had to fight for that role. This town is so hard.
Yeah.
It's so difficult. So I really connect her for that purpose of, like, as talented as she is and as famous as she is, Lady Gaga still has to hear that she's not good enough for a role. And absolutely, by the way, she was more than good enough for that role.
She killed it. She killed was amazing.
It. And I can't even imagine anybody else doing that doing role. That. Star is Born. So when she won the Oscar, it was so important for me. And it was such a crazy moment. And I just, like, those quotes, like, those speeches she gave throughout the whole award show season, I was, like, living and breathing it. Because, like, listen, I love what I do. I love what I do. But I deal with a lot of rejections. I deal with a lot of no's. I deal with a lot of, like, you're not pretty enough. You're not this enough. You're not that enough. I mean, on a daily basis. So I really resonated with all she was saying. So when it was her party... And for the launch of Haas Laboratories.
Haas Laboratories.
I got to meet her and I told her, by the way, your Oscar speech, anytime I'm down, which is true, anytime I'm down, I go to that Oscar speech as like a way to pump me up. And
is
she
that
was
what
so
you
cool.
do? You watch it?
I watched it a couple of times. Yeah, when I've been in a very dark place. And I get to those places a lot when I'm, you know, dealing with rejections and dealing with stuff that you have no control over.
A recent speech that was really well noticed was Michelle Williams at the Emmys, how she talked about if women need help with something, invest in them.
Right.
Whether it's voice lessons, you know, diverse woman, whatever it is. And this is our time right now as women, like you mentioned.
It's a good time for women.
This is our good time. And, you know, I'm so proud of people like you in our industry that who always try to give back. You're always giving tips to everyone who's starting out. So for new and up and coming entertainers and hosts, what advice would you give to anyone starting out now?
So I would say a good advice, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, okay, when I started 14 years ago, I didn't know.
14 years ago?
Right.
It's crazy.
So when I started 14 years ago, it was a different way of doing hosting. You go to a small town. Like, I didn't do that. I created my own lane.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I cannot go to a small town. I'm like, you know, this LA girl, our new community.
We need our food.
I need my mom. I need my food. I need my dad. So I wasn't going to do that. But a lot of people have done that. And obviously, they've gone great careers
smaller
out of it.
Smaller market. They go
right,
to
right. You go to
market.
Smaller market and then you move your way up. And this day and age, if you want to do hosting, I would say start hosting. What does that mean? Start uploading videos on a YouTube channel. And it doesn't matter if it gets 5 views or 10 views or 50 views. Just do it. And try to get yourself familiar with the camera. Try to get comfortable in front of the camera. Someone had sent me their reel and they were like, they work in a local news in like, I think North Carolina. And they want to be an entertainment reporter. And I watched the reel to help that person out. I've never met them. But I watched the reel and I was like, you want to be an entertainment reporter, but nothing in this reel has entertainment in it. Yeah. It's like someone like died in a car shooting or I don't know. It's like stuff that like has nothing to do with entertainment. It's typical stuff that you would find in a small town, right? Like a local bakery open or, you know, stuff like that. So I said, go in front of a movie theater, grab a newspaper or maybe just go in front of a movie theater and talk about the box office recap. Something as simple as that.
Smart.
You know, I think the smartest thing to do is like literally if you want to be a host, start acting like a host, start dressing like a host, start talking like a host, start uploading videos like a host. Like you're already a host. And I think it's important when you... Peter Krohn was on my show for Dream Big and he was in that show Heal on Netflix. And he said to me, he said... you really got to start living in that way of like what you want to become. So it's not so much like I'm going to be a host one day, like start living as a host like today, right?
Yeah.
So start like
manifesting it like you're already that.
You're already that. Yeah. So start doing those videos, start uploading it to all your family and friends to watch. I remember like even to this day, my like podcast, I make everybody like on their like podcast, like app, like download my show. Like I call it shameless promotion. Tell anybody that is willing to listen about what you're doing.
And what's one thing you do to deal with negativity, whether it's someone not supporting you or if you feel like someone's just not on that same level? What kind of tips can you give to someone who even like online bullying and all of that? What's your go-to?
Okay, I've dealt with like so much negativity in the last like 14 years, like so much. I've become kind of numb to it where I'm at that point where sometimes it doesn't bother me and then sometimes it triggers something in me and it'll upset me. But I've kind of become numb to it and like now I kind of befriend my like haters and like I'll just like start talking to them and then I'll find out they're having a bad day and then they're like, you know what, you're not so bad after all. And then we become friends. And I think like people, when they send you a negative comment, they're going through something. So it's important to be compassionate, to understand like what they're going through. And once I've like, you know, started talking to them, I realized like, hey, they're having a hard time and da-da-da, they don't have this, da-da-da. And then, you know, I realized that everyone's going through something. I just don't think the comments come out of nowhere. And most of the time, the comments have nothing to do with you. It has to do with the person
sending. I always say that too. If someone has to reach out to you in a bad way, probably something's going on with them, and there's something in you triggers them that maybe it's something that they didn't have time to reach in their life, or you know what I mean? And I always say, spread love, ask questions. You know, everyone is blessed and has opportunities on different levels. Mm-hmm. We can't all be the same, but you do a great job with always reposting, helping people and all of that.
Right. You know, I think it's important to like give back and like hold each other's hand and see like, how can I help you out and how can I support you? And along with that, I think with the criticism, sometimes the criticisms, like I'm telling you, I've heard stuff about me and I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to take it as a constructive criticism because I think they were right. Like, that was an awful interview. And then there's times where I'm like, I really enjoyed doing it. Like, when people talk about my lips, like, that's annoying. And I'm like, oh, you've got
paper. What's wrong with your lips?
I always get messages about my paper thin lips. And I'm just like, really? Like, get more creative.
No. I'm telling you, if someone always gets to you, or it's because they're bitter and something's going on.
No, but I'm just saying, like, some of them are like that. Like, it's like your lips are.
You have nice, plumpy lips.
Well, I'm just saying, like, well, I drew it double liner. But my point is, like, when they say that, I'm just like, get more creative. But if they're just like, well, I should have asked that question, like, maybe they had a point there.
You know, but you do so well because people look up to you.
You're
breaking barriers. Like in our Armenian community, you've never been negative and you've always been so awesome. Like,
I love you.
I love you too. Like, we go way back. But before we wrap this up,
I know,
because you're gonna come back. This is nothing. One last question: if you were given your very own billboard on Sunset Boulevard to have your own statement on there, what would it say?
Oh my God! Billboard. Dream big.
How did I know you're gonna say that? Yeah.
Wait, am I manifesting right now a billboard on Sunset Boulevard with Dream Big?
There you
go. Is this a vortex right now?
Abraham Hicks talks about going in your vortex always, all the time. So dream big. Yeah, that's
dream
awesome.
Big.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Where can people find you on Instagram, and where can they buy this little thing?
Right. You could find me at Diana Madison. You could buy this at Diana Madison Beauty. Diana Madison.
There you go. And you can follow me on Instagram at Louisa Charmatian and on Twitter at Lou Charmatian. Yes. Thank you so much for coming. We will see you guys next time.
Bye, everybody. Mwah.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.